Well, as you know, there's been much happening behind the scenes. I want to thank God for the people that are working feverishly right now and have been working over these moments. And so thank God for them. Thank you, folks, that have been working on all that. And you thought these days were over, but the ushers handed you a fan on the way in, so you feel free. Go ahead. They must have known something's going to happen like this, so you use your bulletin. You won't bother me. They say more energy is expended by the movement than you get a value of the wind, but it doesn't feel that way, so you go right ahead. Actually, it's all on, and I hated to get up from this seat over here because there's a vent right behind my seat. I thought I had my just preach from over here, but I'm going to come to this spot, and if you're on the outside rings, that's where the, or outside walls, that's where the air conditioning comes pumping in, so you made a good choice. If you're in the center, I'm sorry. We did the best we could, but thank you to those people who are getting it working, and I thank God for the team that we all serve on here at the church, and it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But I'm going to preach. We'll still get out just a little early. We're looking forward to a baptism here in just a few moments, and Magnolia is going to be baptized. I'm excited about that, and I'm just thankful to be here today. Well, I want you to look in the book of Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at this chapter, or the first few verses of it, and as you find your place there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, I do think about this, all that's happened today with our power went out. We had a little something with the transformer. There's a lot of issues, none of which are fault, but just happens, and so it happened on Sunday morning. But it's a lot of times how you look at it, your outlook. I heard about these fellows that were they were told about this organization that was paying $5,000 for wolves, and you could capture them if you could bring them in alive, and they were going to do something else with them, put them somewhere else. Then they get $5,000 per wolf. And these cousins, they thought, man, that's our ticket. We're in it, and we can do it. And so they started out. They went out looking in the evenings and nights, and Sam and Jed, and they thought, man, this, they turned into fortune hunters. They're going to go. But they didn't have much luck, so they weren't catching anything. They weren't getting anything. And so one night they were out late and had the campfire, and finally they drifted off, and the campfire went down to nothing as well. Well, Sam woke up, and he woke up to just a bunch of pairs of eyes all the way around him. It wasn't only the eyes, but it was a bunch of teeth that was bare. These wolves were all around him. They're just growling at him and just all surrounding them. And so it's all in how you look at it. He nudged his cousin. He said, Jed, wake up. We're rich. Depends on if you can get them or not. So it's a good place to be here, Jed. It's a good place to be. We're rich, Jedediah. So, amen. Luke chapter 7. Now, when he had ended all the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I want to preach for a little while about the faith of that centurion. We've got a great challenge in Scripture to have faith and to trust the Lord for what he wants to do. The greatest person that I've ever known of faith was my mother-in-law, Amy and Angie's mom. And she was just a wonderful testimony of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. She, I think, quite literally prayed her kids, all five of them, to the cross, and then prayed them into walking with the Lord, and now all of them are trying to serve the Lord with their life and trying to seek him. But she is a great woman of faith. And I think about this, what's lacking in our lives is this thing that that Jesus said about this centurion, that he's so astounded at his faith. Jesus makes that remarkable statement there in verse number 9 there or so, or verse number, number 9, says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I want to challenge you today to be that person of faith that God wants you to be. And not only have that faith, but make sure that faith is placed in the right people. I meet a lot of people who they have faith in themselves, or they have faith in an institution, or they have faith in some creed or something. But my friend, your faith needs to be not on yourself or not in anything that anybody else has ever done. But make sure not only it's the faith, but the faith is in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to be challenged this morning, and I want to get right into it. In verse number 3, I want you to see the reputation of Jesus Christ. The reputation of Christ, it says, when he'd heard of Jesus, this man was obviously somebody who helped others, because down in verse number 5, it says he built us a synagogue, but he knew of Jesus' reputation. He had known that everybody was all a flutter about what Jesus was doing there, and he had heard in him. Some commentators indicate that they think this man was already a Christian, already a believer in Christ. Some think he was not, but regardless, he knew of the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I graduated from high school in 1991. From 1985 until 1992, the car that Car Talk magazine calls the worst car of the millennium was imported in the United States of America from 85 to 91. Almost every car list that lists out lemons, cars that were just a big flop, almost every list puts this car on there. They say it was the lowest priced car, with inflation adjusted in there, for the lowest priced car in U.S. history. Any guesses? The Yugo. From Yugoslavia. They'd always said, the joke was, they'd ever create a four-door, we call it a Wego. But in those of you younger, you're like, what? I don't even understand. But this car was a horrendous flop and very poor quality from all estimations. I never owned one, but very poor quality. It had a bad reputation. Now, all of us have reputations, I know, but the reputation of that car was true of what the quality that it did not deliver. But I'm thinking about the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it hasn't ceased now, because you would think if Christ had been just a person, because all of historians say there was a man named Jesus Christ, lived in Galilee, lived at that time, there was a man named Jesus there. But if that's all that he was, the reputation of him would have sure fizzled by now, because instead there are churches like this, and there are hospitals around the community that have a cross and somewhere in their logo, and those being started by somebody who claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you walked around this room this morning, no doubt people would give great introductions to what Jesus Christ had done for them and how he had totally changed their life. I've already told you, you understand my family's tree. My mom and her family got introduced to Jesus Christ by an old little mountain preacher that was up that way. And he had brought the news of the gospel into my mom's family, and it changed that trajectory forever. And my dad, although grew up in a Christian home, never got saved until he was out in California as a sailor. And the Lord changed his trajectory completely from where he was headed to where he is now. And I'm saying this morning that the reason that was because the reputation of Christ was prominent in that area. And this centurion said, I've heard of Jesus Christ, but I see not only the reputation of him, but I want you to look at something very interesting in the life of the centurion. I want you to see the humility of that centurion. Look in verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says Jesus went with them, and he was now not far from the house, going down to the lower part of the verse, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. Look at that next phrase, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He said, I ain't even going to come to see you. I just want to send word to you. I see not only the reputation of Jesus Christ, but then the humility of this centurion. And it's a great indicator that something wonderful has happened in your life when instead of pride and arrogance, you have humility and you lay down and you say, this is the Lord's doing. I take you to Luke chapter 18, where Jesus gave the parable of the publican and the sinner. And the publican was the upper echelon of the religious world. The publican was the complete other end of the spectrum. He was the one that nobody liked. The publicans were an interesting group. The Romans want to extort the people of the Israel, or the Jewish people want to extort money from them. And so they used these publicans, but the publicans were not only disliked, the Jews were not only disliked by the Romans, but then the publicans were disliked by the Jews as well, because the Jewish people didn't like the publicans because they were Jews. But then they had contracted with the Romans to be the collectors of the taxes and all of the extortion that they put on the Jewish people. So nobody was lower in the eyes of the Jewish people than the publicans. The only people that liked that whole scenario were the publicans. They were making great amounts of money because of this, but the Romans didn't like them. They didn't like any of the Jews. And then the Jewish people didn't like them because they were turncoats, as it were. And so when Jesus gave that parable in Luke chapter 18 to talk about the publican and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee said, "I thank God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, even this publican over here." And Jesus went on to tell the story about the publican. He would not so much as lift up his eyes, but he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God gives the end of that, at the end of that parable, tells how it worked out, that the publican went down to his house justified. My friend, if you and I, if you get saved, you will not be that one that walks into this situation and says, "God, you're lucky to have me." There are some songs that get close to indicating that God saw something deep down inside of you worth coming to this earth and saving you for. Sometimes songs will indicate that there was just something. He saw a diamond in the rough. He saw something that was worth coming and doing all this for. My friend, he saw nothing. His great love drew him and it drove him to come to this earth and to die on the cross for our sins. I'm looking at this thought and thinking about this publican, or not the publican there, but the centurion rather, the humility that he has. And this centurion doesn't come to himself and say that, "Jesus, I want to meet with you, because when I meet with you, I think I can impress you with my stature in life. And when you're impressed with my stature in life, then I'm going to get you to come and heal my servant." Not at all. He comes head bowed and says, "Lord, I'm not even worthy that you come to my house." The humility that he has, "Neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee." You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 about us, all of us, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know there was somebody that could save us, but there was somebody that could never save us, and that somebody was you and I. Wouldn't matter how many good works you did, you could never do enough good works to keep you from here on. But you certainly couldn't do enough good works to go back and cover for what you've already done. Because the scripture is very clear when it says holiness, complete and utter perfection is what's needed in order to go to heaven. And my friend, none of us made that cut. But when we humbly bow and say, "Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner." We don't need to walk in to the situation like a CEO of a big company and get pampered. Instead, when I came to Jesus Christ, I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner that needs to be saved." If you came any other way, my friend, you need to get an old-fashioned dose of humility, remembering who we are and remembering who he is. But I see not only the humility, but my favorite part is in verses 8 and 9. I'm looking at the faith of the centurion. "For I'm also a man." My favorite phrase in this story is right here. "For I'm also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto them, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." I love the confidence in that centurion. He says, "I'm a man set under authority. I've got people that are my bosses. I don't dare reject what my boss says, but I've got people underneath of me as well." A centurion was somebody who ruled over a group of 100 soldiers. He said, "I've got people underneath me, and they dare not reject what order I give them." He says, "All I do is say, and it gets done." But he said, "Not only that, the person above me, all they do is say it, and it gets done by me." And I see the confidence in here. And I'm thinking about what that centurion, he said, "I know how this works. I know when there's a superior and an inferior, the superior can say it and the inferior has to do it." And so this centurion marks all of death and all of sickness and all of the things that are wrong with his servant. He marks them in the category inferior, and he's sending a message by faith to the one that's superior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I know all that you have to do is just say it and it'll be done." Do I have that kind of faith? I'm afraid oftentimes we don't. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's meaning on the salvation side, you may say, I'm doing all I can, Brother John. I'm going to church, and I'm helping, and I did this, and I did the other. I'm doing all that I can to make God happy with me and make him pleased. My friend, it won't work one bit, because there's not enough in you to do that. Without faith, it's impossible. And then that's also true with us as Christians. In our Christian walk, you say, I'm trying to muster up all the strength I can. I'm the hardest working guy I know. I work longer. I work harder. I try to do this. I try to study more. I do this. And I think that God's going to look at me and say, wow, that's a good boy. My friend, it's no more possible to get God to look and say, wow, look at those works you've done after you're saved than it was before you were saved. Because without faith, it's impossible. Sometimes people might come into a church and their income is quite extraordinary and the house they live in is quite impressive, and the way that they handle themselves and handle themselves and behave around people, it's impressive. And maybe somebody else in the church says, wow, if we could land that person as a member of this church, we'd really be doing something. Can I tell you who doesn't say that? The Lord doesn't look down from heaven and look at your car versus somebody else versus somebody who didn't even have a car to get here this morning and say, wow, now if I could work on that one, and if that one would come and help in that church, then that we'd really be doing something. God's not impressed by the things we're impressed with. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I read several accounts, I'm sure it's true, was from reputable sources, the Impala in Africa. The animal, not the car, the Africa Impala. I'm told that they can jump upwards of heights of 10 feet. They can span a great distance in that 10 feet, but 10 feet high. But I'm also told that in a zoo or a setting like that, they can be kept inside of a fence or a cage being no more than 3 feet high. Because although they have that height, that jumping ability, there's also something else about them. They won't jump where they can't see what they're going to land on. They won't jump without being sure of the landing. And so a short fence, much shorter than their ability to clear, will hold them because they don't have the faith, so to speak, to jump where they can't see. And I thought as I read that, that's about the way we are. God, if you just show me, I'll do whatever you show me. God, if you would just let me know what it's going to be on the next three steps, then I'll be sure to take them. God, if you would only pull back the curtain just a little bit and let me see down the road, I'll follow you wherever. God may or may not let you see down the road. He may not let you see the next step. He may not let you see what's happening in the next day. But instead, the Bible says he wants you to trust him by faith. And too oftentimes, we're like that Impala, that we are kept in by a very short barrier, much shorter than what our ability could clear, but because we won't have faith in God, we won't trust him to help us take that next leap. The faith of the centurion. This guy didn't even need to see Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't even think I was worth coming, you coming this way, and I certainly don't think you're worthy of me coming, or I'm worthy of you coming into my house. Lord, I'm a nobody. And he wasn't saying that because he was, woe is me. You know, there are some people say, I'm not worthy. This guy was a leader. People respected him. It wasn't that he was just falsely humble. I believe he thought for real that, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come my way. So if you would just speak the word, just like my boss tells me what to do and I hop to it, or just like I tell one of my guys to do something and they better do it, Lord, if you'd say the word, this sickness that's found its way into my servant, it'd be gone. Amen. What faith? Do you have that faith this morning? Jesus is waiting for you to humbly trust him by faith. Let me give you this before we leave. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, you are walking a dangerous road, because the Scripture's very clear about everybody who tries to navigate this life and go to death on their own will never make it to heaven. Instead, the Bible says waiting for them is their right reward, a separation from God in a horrible place called hell. But maybe you're here this morning And you're saying, God, if you would make yourself real to me, then I would trust you. Jesus, if you would just do this, then I will do this. Jesus, if you would just show me. Jesus, if you would just make it real to me. Jesus, if you would make this happen tomorrow when I go throughout my week, then I'll get saved. Jesus, if you would, and you put out all kinds of parameters, Lord, if you'll just do that and let me see it, then I'll believe you. A friend of mine who does Bible schools all summer long for many years now wrote a little song in one of the Bible school programs that talked about, we like to say the phrase, seeing that I'll believe it when I see it. They put in that song, in the way of heaven, we have to believe it to see it. My friend, it's by faith. Because if God would show you everything and you knew it was there, it was out in front of you, that's not faith when you're trusting him, that's fact. But God doesn't want us to walk by fact, not yet. He wants us to walk by faith. So this morning, I think about the reputation of Jesus Christ. It got all the way around to that centurion, but it got around to us as well. Let me give you just one little exercise to think about. Can you imagine being somebody, maybe there's somebody here today, I hope you are, but could you imagine today being an atheist? Saying, I don't believe that. No, there's no God. And what I say today versus a couple of generations ago, with all the intricacies that we know, with as much knowledge as we have, and we know how complex the human body is, we know how complex the solar system is, we know how much all of these things, they have such intricacies in them. Could you imagine having all of this right at your fingertips and seeing that and saying, nah, nobody greater than me exists anywhere. And somehow a cosmic accident came and brought all of this about. Could you imagine being that atheist? Because one of these days, that person will stand before God. And I can't help but think that that person will stand before God with more severity on their presence with the Lord than somebody a few generations ago, when so much is here for us to know. And how they still ignored all of that and still rejected Jesus Christ or rejected God at all. But I see the reputation of Christ, but then the humility of that centurion. How about you? Have you been walking around in your Christian life thinking that God's really got a big one here on the line? That really I'm something? My friend, if you have, may I remind you, I'm not trying to beat you down or make you less than you are. I'm just reminding who all of us are in the sight of the Lord. We're all sinners that need to be saved. And if we're saved, then we're still those children of His. But the only reason we're children of His is because of His great love. And I challenge you to have that humility. And then this morning, if you're not saved, you're not sure that faith, your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people come and they'll say, well, I want to take Jesus into my life. And sometimes we misspeak that. Because if you're just saying, well, I'd like to get religious, religion doesn't do anything for anybody. Amen. I'd like to come join that church, join this church or 10 others, won't do anything for you. Amen. I want to be a better husband. I want you to be a better husband. I want you to be a better wife. Better be a better whoever. I want to be a better husband. Maybe Jesus will help me do that. And sometimes I think that people come for a religious experience, but what they need to do is just come to be saved. Amen. Amen. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you've been desiring or you've had some religious experiences, but there's never a time when you receive Christ for full forgiveness of your sins. You stop messing around. You stop trying to be somebody. You stop caring about your reputation, and all you were worried about, all you were concerned about anymore was just what Jesus Christ did on that cross, and you realize it was for you. Without Him, you'll spend eternity separated from God. But today you want to receive Him by faith. Lord, if you just show me a few other things, then I'll do that, like that pastor says. Lord, if you just come down, if you just give me a sign in the sky, if you'd let me see something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to help us to be those people that walk by faith. And I pray, dear Lord, if there's somebody in this room that's not saved this morning, Lord, they quit putting off, waiting for some sign, waiting for some sight. Lord, they've already been given enough stuff. You've already convicted them. You've already shown them. You've already drawn them. Lord, I pray they've just opened up their heart and their life to you and receive you for full forgiveness of their sins. Pray that you bless us, Father, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? Brother Daniel's going to come and be right down here at the front. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. You've been thinking that, well, if God would do some electrical storm, then I'd come. My friend, you're just going to have to trust him by faith. Maybe there's some Christian in here who says, I need to walk by faith. You sure do. We're looking forward to our baptismal service. If you're able to stay for a few minutes, it's going to be a blessing. Hope that you're able to stay if you can. But then before all that, if you're here tonight or today, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Maybe you need to be baptized. You want to set that up for a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever God's working your heart to do, I trust that you would.
You may look this way. You can have a seat if you're able to stay with us for just a few more minutes. And we are going to get ready for our baptism here. And it's going to be a wonderful time as we see this sweet young lady baptized. Parents, if you are in here this morning and you brought your kids with you and they came out for the carnival, it is going on out there right now. But they are going to bring the kids back upstairs. So you can just go back right up there and pick them up where you dropped them off. But the carnival is open till about 1 o'clock. And so if you want to bring your kids back out there, you are welcome to do so. I was out there for just a few moments just a little bit ago, just checking on things. And so it's going well out there. It's nice and warm, but they're having lots of fun. And so if you want to bring your kids out there, and anybody in the church family, if you want to just head on out there, if you've been waiting for your time to jump on a bounce house, then there's one out there for you. And that's going to be a good thing. Then, so you can take advantage of that afterwards. Then we are looking forward to our junior day camp coming up here in just a couple weeks. And there are some, I believe there's some information out on one of the tables in the lobby. If you have some questions about junior day camp for our 8 through 11 year olds, I believe the age bracket is. And so if you have questions about that, then you could stop me or Brother Kyle if you see him today, and we can get you that. But I think there's information out there. We're going to sing the song Here Is Love again, just a wonderful song. We've been trying to get it stuck in our heads is what we've been trying to do lately. And so if you want to just direct your attention up to the screen, it'll be up there for you to sing along with me as we sing a couple verses of this song as Pastor gets ready for baptism.
Here is love that sets the ocean loving kindness as the flood. When the pains of life are ransomed, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can
Very good.
Today, and the water's cool, so I've got Magnolia over here, but I didn't want to get her in too early because it's cold, and I've got these waders on, so it's cool for me. But she is a great blessing. Of course, her mom, Cassandra, is a wonderful encouragement to Amy, and then her grandparents, her parents are down here, and we are so thankful for Magnolia. She came and said, I want to get baptized, and I do as I always do. I said, well, made sure they're saved, and she's trusted Christ as Savior, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. So I'll give all these preliminaries ahead of time, and so Magnolia, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so if you'll come with me. So Magnolia.
Yeah?
Hold your nose. Let go of my neck. So I can let you down. I got you. Okay, ready? All right. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. And so she'd also like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, be a member with her mom. And so Marty Scroggs makes that motion. We need somebody to second. Brother Shannon Barker, all in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign? Amen. Congratulations, Magnolia. Thank you so much for being in church this morning. We're looking forward to a great time tonight. Invite you back at 6:30. God bless you.